Hi, this is Austin Hill. Hey, thanks for listening to this highlight from Austin Hill in the Morning. Now, remember, to hear the entire broadcast or more highlights from our recent episodes, you can go to the Austin Hill in the Morning program page on our mobile-friendly website, myfaithradio.com. Thanks for listening. Good morning. It's now 36 minutes past the hour from the Faith Radio Network. I am Austin Hill. Honored to have you with us. Thank you for being here. I mean that very sincerely. We don't take your listenership and your support for granted. We appreciate you being here weekday mornings as we strive to be informative, challenging, hopeful, and helpful. There is a new story being reported by the folks over at ChristianPost.com. And it is an extraordinary news item, and it's one of these things that the dominant media in our country just wouldn't even know how to begin to report. It would make no sense if this were to happen here in the United States. As a matter of fact, I would suggest that, indeed, things like this happen from time to time here in the U.S., and they go ignored by the dominant news media in our country because they don't know where to begin. Joining us on our newsline to begin with our discussion today about a whole bunch of items at ChristianPost.com, our great friend Paul Stanley, one of the fine editors there at Christian Post. Paul, welcome back to the program. Thanks very much for joining us.
Austin, good morning.
I was really struck. I think I first saw this late last night before I went to sleep. This news story that you and your colleagues at Christian Post have published, Chinese Catholics and Protestants unite in carrying crosses everywhere, a campaign to protest massive government intrusion on churches. What an extraordinary story of courage and grace and dignity, even as Christians in that otherwise somewhat oppressive country identify with Christ and carry the imagery of Christ and his cross with them. I just don't think that most American news reporters would know where to begin with this. I mean, oftentimes news reporting, as you know, Paul, starts with a presupposition as to who the heroes and the villains are and what's the secret agenda behind people's motives and those kinds of things. And it would seem as though these Chinese Christians, they're motivated by simply trying to follow Christ, and that's about it. Give us your take on this extraordinary story, if you would.
Well, it's, especially when you talk about China, because there's so much persecution, because we talk a lot about religious liberty, freedom, mm-hmm. and persecution of Christians, at least when I'm on your show. And
sure.
We know in China it's just it's blatant, more so than anywhere in the world. It takes a lot of courage for these citizens to rise up and do this stuff. So you really have to applaud them, because, you know, Scripture tells us, you know, it rewards us for taking a stand for Christ. It does not promise us that there won't be harm done to us and even death. I mean, we see numerous examples in the Bible.
We do indeed. And here are people literally putting themselves in harm's way, perhaps even inviting imprisonment or at least being jailed, maybe beating, maybe death, by carrying a cross, identifying themselves as Christians out in the public square. It's quite a display of conviction, at the very least, I would say. Your further thoughts?
It is. I mean, it's taking a stand for Christ. And, you know, going back to biblical accounts, we see a lot of people who take that, you know, who stand up, and they do so at great risk. I mean, you know, we know all the disciples suffered untimely deaths, for their beliefs. And now after Christ's death and resurrection, that was a time when they were trying to just wipe Christianity off the face of the earth. And boy, the bravery that those men had to exhibit to take that stand now. And that leads people, if they doubt, you know, would you really go through that for something you didn't think was true, or you didn't know was true?
So, right.
The answer to that would be no.
Paul Stanley, editor at ChristianPost.com. He's on our news line here on the Faith Radio Network. Other news from the state of Georgia. A public school district there is being forced by a court to pay a pretty hefty fine, $22,500, in a lawsuit from an atheist group. Paul, tell us what's going on here.
Okay, big distinction there, and is in touch with the news as you and I even try to be. Sometimes mm-hmm. we misread stuff. So let me try to get down to the synopsis of that. And I thought the same thing, too, when I first read it, Austin. But the school district is not being forced to pay by the court. The court has never ruled on this. What is happening is the insurance company that insures the school has agreed to settle with the group. And many times what happens is the insurance company is trying to cut losses. They say, look, if this goes to court, this will be drug out. This will cost us a lot of money and lawyers and stuff. Let's agree to this figure. We'll just let's call it a day. And that's what's happening. So the school district doesn't have to make a deal. Now, I read in the article they're going to have to go through some kind of what I'm going to call sensitivity training or whatever. But I did not mean the school district did not admit fault, nor say they were in the wrong. This is just the insurance company trying to cut a loss. And sometimes the insurance companies force us into situations we really don't want to be in.
Yeah, no, very, very point well taken, very important points and very important distinction in this. It is nonetheless a public school district in the state of Georgia and a secular group called the American Humanist Association claimed damages because a football coach there in the state of Georgia was apparently praying even in the name of Jesus with athletes on the football team. That's the offense. That's where the damage claim comes from, a coach praying in the name of Christ, right?
Well, you know, and another thing, too, we're Protestant in our household, evangelical Christians. My son, my 15-year-old son, happens to attend a local all-boys Catholic high school. It's probably about 50% Catholic, and the rest is, you know, 99% Protestant and a couple of others. I think there's some Muslim and Hindu kids that go there. What's interesting is obviously they can have mass there. They can start out and pray before each class, which they do, and before football games. A lot, and I notice this almost every time that our school baseball team plays a public high school baseball team. Public high school baseball team, after the game, most of the time it's the public high school guys who go to the mound and are joined by our guys and coaches and pray.
That is interesting.
Very interesting. And it doesn't matter where it is, at our field, which obviously can take place, or the field of a public high school. Happens all the time. Now, you know, to your listeners, I'm in Tennessee. I'm in the South. We're talking about a story in Georgia. But people have the right to pray. And we can't let these groups, like these atheist groups, tell us we don't have the right to pray and a coach or teacher can't join in.
So where does that leave us, Paul Stanley?
Wow, you know, we could debate this for hours on end with great legal minds. But at the end of the day, and almost we touch on this every week when I'm on, people got to stand up for their rights. Christians have to stand up for their rights. And we're getting bullied, and we're getting bullied. And the bullies right now are winning, in my opinion. They're letting us bully them. They're bullying the insurance company, and these people are saying, hey, look, let's get out of this. Let's write a little check and go on because it's going to cost us more money if this goes 5 years in court. They're bullying us by telling us a coach can't pray on the mound after a game. He most certainly has the right to do that.
One would hope so. Paul Stanley with ChristianPost.com. He's on our news line. We'll continue with him with a further look at some of the big news of our lives and times, making headlines even as we speak, things that really do matter to our individual lives and families and to the life of the church. It's at ChristianPost.com. Paul Stanley on our news line. This is the Faith Radio Network. 46 minutes past the hour. I'm Austin Hill. Back in moments.
Back to Austin Hill in the morning. Questions or comments for the show? You can leave them on our show page at myfaithradio.com.
It's 48 minutes past the hour from the Faith Radio Network. I'm Austin Hill here weekday mornings, and Paul Stanley, editor of the editorial page, among other things, at ChristianPost.com. He's on our news line and here to talk about some of the big issues of our lives and times right here, right now, this week. Paul, I think last time you were with us, I complimented you, and I mean this very sincerely. There really is a diversity of perspective and opinion represented in the very section that you oversee at ChristianPost.com, and I appreciate that very much. Anybody who presupposes that they don't need or want to go to ChristianPost.com because it's all the same thing all the time, you got another thing coming to you if you actually care to open up your mind and look at what's there. I was really struck by a piece you published recently about America's transgender clergy, And one of your columnists, Matthew Maul, put this together, detailing in vivid detail, not inappropriately so, but in very precise detail, many mainline Protestant denominations who long before the Supreme Court ruled on the legal definition of marriage, churches have been leading the way, embracing transgenderism and same-sex couples and all the rest. Give us a little perspective on this.
Well, you know, I grabbed this. This comes from a site called, it's the IRD that Mark Tooley and those guys run. You know, they're the ones who try, who have been trying to bring the United Methodist Church back to where they believe John Wesley intended it to be. And there's some great writers over there, Chelsea McCarty and Matt and several others. And I saw this piece and I go, wow, this is really telling. So I put it up, and then I told our other editor at Christian Post yesterday, I said, this needs to be on the main page. Mm-hmm. I mean, people need to read this. And it's engaging, because if you read comments, I got to be candid with you. I don't read comments at the end of stories, because a lot of times they're not well thought through. And people who really think through issues always find a more appropriate medium, you know, to express those views, whether or not you agree with them or not. But he's really just calling out some people, and he's saying, look, they're saying there's transgender but a clergy, and that's an extreme contradiction in what biblical standards call us to. And so he's naming some of them, and it's something the church needs to look at. It's, do we want to ordain someone who says they're transgender, and is that the appropriate message we need to send to the body of Christ?
It is very interesting. I note, and I hear what you're saying, that you don't look at the comments published beneath the editorials and news items that are published at ChristianPost.com. And sometimes commentators, whether they're conservative or liberal or whatever, Christian, non-Christian, oftentimes comments like this are not very thoughtful. And I appreciate your point. Your point is well taken. I note, and again, if somebody thinks that this content at ChristianPost.com presupposes how everybody should think, and it's all homogeneous and everybody's on the same page, please think again. I note underneath the recent piece about transgendered clergy in America, here's somebody identifying themselves as Mainline Protestant 7, a nice ambiguous nondescript name there, but they write, as a member of a mainline church, I'm thankful for the positive witness of these churches standing up for all of God's children, including those who are transgender, homosexual, intersex, and hermaphrodites. All people belong in God's house who seek love and peace in Christ. And whoever that person is, that's their opinion. They're entitled to it. I guess my point here is to say that these are the conversations that need to happen in the church, I believe, and in Christian media outlets. And whether we agree or disagree vehemently with the issue at hand, we need to be free to express these things, but we need to do it in a dignified sort of way. There's somebody with whom I disagree, but they're expressing themselves in a dignified way. You've been on all sides of the media equation, Paul Stanley. You were an elected official for a period of time. You stepped away from your media career to serve as a legislator for a while. You know what it is when the public and the media come after you in a hostile sort of way. You also do a fine job, in my estimation, to engender thoughtful dialogue. Differentiate the two between us and give us some pointers on how to engage in thoughtful dialogue.
Well, number one, you should express your opinion. Number one, we've all got to be engaged as Christians, and there's a way to express your opinion, and you should do that. I'm not referring to Matthew, the author of the piece we're talking about, but I sent an email to one of our columnists the other day, and I said, I just wish you and I could find one thing we agree on, because every time I read your columns, I just disagree, but I appreciate the way you put them out, and we laugh and joke about that. And again, I try to give people, and I look for varying viewpoints and give people a platform. Now, as I mentioned last week, I'm not going to give somebody who promotes atheism a platform. They have their own. That's not what we stand for, and I'm not going to let you go there. But I'm going to give you some latitude in expressing your viewpoints. And we need to do it, but we need to do it in a constructive way. Because the statement you read a while ago, part of that I can agree with, but in the context that we're talking about, I think that person's misinformed scripturally. Mm-hmm. And I think they need to look within their heart and look within the Bible and go see pastors and talk to counselors and examine if that's really what Scripture says and why they believe it.
That's well stated. Paul Stanley, editor at ChristianPost.com. Find him there at ChristianPost.com. Paul, as always, we appreciate what you do. Thanks very much for being with us this morning. And I hope you have a safe and sane week ahead. We'll talk again next week.
Okay. Y'all enjoy your day.
Thank you, sir. 54 minutes past the hour. It's the Faith Radio Network. Thursday morning underway. I'm Austin Hill. Well, thanks again for listening to this highlight from Austin Hill in the Morning. Remember, for more information about this, visit the Austin Hill in the Morning program page on our mobile-friendly website, myfaithradio.com.